big story of the day on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Brought to you by The Pig and Duke, your neighborhood pub at the corner of 12th and 12th Southwest, where you can win a trip to see the Seahawks versus the 49ers with a pigskin club.
It could take place over 2 to 4 years, but 2017 is the year to focus on because it's the 100th anniversary of the National Hockey League.
That's Howard Bloom from Sports Business News. He was on this morning with Brady and Walker in Toronto, our sister station, and this really blew up yesterday. Tony Gallagher of the Vancouver Province wrote a column that said it's a done deal. The NHL is expanding Las Vegas. They're still looking for owners. Howard followed that up with, it's more than just that. It could be Las Vegas, it could be Seattle, it could be Toronto, and it could be Quebec. And now, there are those now chiming. Everybody's chiming in today, kids. Everybody's got an opinion on it. A little later on, the chief economist from the Conference Board of Canada, Glenn Hodgson, is going to join us. We'll talk to him about just the possibility of Toronto and Quebec as well. Tomorrow, we believe Chris Johnson from Sportsnet is going to join us. He's written on it. Look, Josh, I've said this all day long. I don't know. I think it's the end of August. I don't think there's a lot of hockey stuff. I think it's come up. I don't think this is going to happen tomorrow. I do, however, believe this is inevitable.
Mm-hmm. It's going to happen eventually. There's going to be teams coming in. I mean, that's part of a business. I mean, once you're constantly, you think you've reached your full potential, what you've got now, you want to grow and you want to get it bigger and bigger, and people want to make more money. And the only reason, you know, way you're going to make more money is by growing your game and having a few more teams and having that ability happen. And I strongly believe it's going to happen eventually. We're going to see some new teams come in. I don't know where it's going to be. I mean, I know Vegas is one that doesn't really register with me that Vegas would be a place to put a pro sports franchise. It seems like it's too much of a tourist place. You wouldn't have your own real fan base in Vegas. I mean, the minor league teams go there because they don't need a huge fan base. Can you get all the sponsorship? It'd be such a tourist-driven place to go. So that's, I mean, it could work, I guess, in a sense, but, I mean, no one's ever done it yet. Is there a reason why no one's done it yet? I know you said before the gambling thing was a reason why maybe it hasn't happened so far.
Well, I think historically that's always been one thing that's kept people away. But, look, they've got a new 20,000-seat arena that's going to open up
coming in 2016
right on the Strip. That's going to be attractive for somebody. Somebody's going to want to be the main tenant in there. Now, you talk about buildings. We keep talking about Toronto and Quebec, and according to Howard Bloom, buildings in Canada aren't a problem.
Quebec City, the arena has all but been built. Toronto, I really see the team playing in the Air Can in the center. Seattle, they're ready to build an arena, and they have an owner. The one that I can't figure out still is Las Vegas. To me, that makes no sense. But if they're ready to give a team to Las Vegas, everything's in place for the other three cities as well.
So we know that Seattle has its issues. I guess it comes back to Toronto again, because I think Toronto's a linchpin in all of this. I really do believe that my gut tells me the possibility of two teams moving and two teams in expansion. I don't see the NHL going from 30 to 34. I just don't. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to point fingers at Florida and point fingers at Arizona. Others will, and I guess I'll take a wait and see. For many years we were told Atlanta was fine, and bang, it moves almost overnight to Winnipeg. There are teams out there hurting. Heck, we heard stories out of San Jose this summer about their building and those types of things. I don't think the Sharks are a portable team or anything like that, but you never know. But back to Toronto. That's the play. Mm-hmm. That is the play. The Clippers, and Howard Bloom talked about this morning, Steve Ballmer paid $2 billion. $2 billion for the LA Clippers, who might at the end of the day be the third most important tenant in the Staples Center,
yep.
Certainly behind the Clippers and maybe recently behind the LA Kings. They got $2 billion. What could you possibly get if the National Hockey League stood up and said, we've got an expansion team for Southern Ontario, we have an expansion team for Toronto, put in your bills or your bids? I mean, I'm only a couple years removed from saying, oh, they might get $400 or $500 million for an expansion. We're talking now the potential for a $1 billion bid, I think.
Absolutely. And to put it in Toronto, you're going to make money. There's such a big fan base there for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and there's such a fan base that, you know, probably in Southern Ontario that doesn't like the Toronto Maple Leafs that would support that team. And if it does go to Toronto, splits the building with the Air Canada Center, I don't know how
that. See, that part,
I don't think that's going to happen, because you already have what, you have the Toronto Rock in there. You've got the Toronto Raptors in there.
It's funny how you say the Rock first. I'm not sure that they're that big an issue.
Well, I'm not saying for issue. I mean, just you've got all these tenants already in that building. Can you afford another NHL team? You're pretty full building as it is.
The Clippers example again, right? Because you've got the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Kings in that building. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it can be done.
Yeah.
It can be done. Ideally, I think you'd like to see a scenario, you know, like you were talking, I believe at one point there was, a building going into Markham, someplace like that. It can be done. Look, Toronto, and I don't want it because I don't want to hear about another, I'm tired of, you know, we're all tired of the, you know, except for Maple Leaf fans and expats, I get that. But as Western Canadian people, we've long been, you know, inundated with Toronto, and that would only grow. I get that. I know that publicly at least one of the owners of the Toronto Maple Leafs who has a vested interest in this, Rogers, Bell, and Larry Tannenbaum, they've already said no way. But in terms of a business model and the fact that expansion money only goes to owners, it does not go into hockey-related revenue. This would only be split up amongst the owners. I think it's a done deal. I think it's all but a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be.
I definitely think it's going to happen eventually. I mean, the game's getting bigger and bigger each year. Eventually, you have to expand to keep it, you know, to keep everybody interested. And there are some great markets. I don't know, you know, Vegas is one of them. Maybe it'll work just because of the tourists. You're not going to have a great local fan base there, but Seattle would be a great one to go to. I think that would do very well.
I think Seattle's fine. I really do. I believe Seattle because you instantly have a relationship with Vancouver then. I think San Jose, all of that. You've got instant
rivalries there.
Worries me a little bit only from the tradition of the Thunderbirds. I don't see, you know, the junior team staying, but trust me, there'd be other communities that would gobble them up in a heartbeat. Yeah. It's not like they would go under. I keep coming back to the same question about Las Vegas. I mean, you look at the numbers. It is 42nd in the National Hockey League. It's 42nd in the United States when it comes to television markets.
Yeah,
it's 2 million people. Clark County is 2 million people. Median household income is roughly just north of 55,000. Again, you know, and you brought it up earlier. Are we talking about a team that is based on tourists? Are we talking about a team that sets up shop? On the strip and said,
I just don't see Vegas as a place that would get a lot of, you know, a season ticket holder base that would be very big. I think that's a very important thing to happen. Sure, you could probably fill your arena or come pretty close to it just about every night because no matter who goes there, there's going to be fans that say, well, that'd be awesome. Let's go for a road trip to Vegas
right.
for a few days and we can watch our hometown team play. It'd be great. There'd be a lot of people, but are you really going to fill that up for your, you know, fan base? I don't think you're going to have a huge one. Are you really going to have the corporate sponsorship that it takes, I think, to have a professional sports team? I don't think you'll have that in Vegas. You'll have all the tourists and all that kind of the bells and whistles in that regard, but I just don't see it working long term. And I just keep coming back to no one's done it yet. No one's ever done it yet. Vegas has been there for a long, long time, and no one's done it. And I know the gambling thing, one thing, but it's just after even, you know, to get past all that, no one's done it yet. So what makes you think it's a thing that would work all of a sudden now? It's just going to work.
I think that's a really interesting point you raise.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there's been all kinds of bluster. There's been all kinds of talk. And mm-hmm. Vegas has been there. You know, at one point, one of the mayors of Las Vegas was openly courting teams. And, you know, they've courted Major League Baseball. They've had the NBA All-Star Game. The NHL's moved its awards ceremony there. This is what I know. When I've gone to Vegas, and I've gone twice in the last 4 years, and I'm not a big gambling guy or anything like that, I'll play some cards and stuff, and I'll go to the I don't really go to the shows, but I pay for my wife and my family to go to them. There is no shortage of entertainment in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That you're not the only game in town. As a matter of fact, you're way down the list.
You've got a lot of competition,
What I have not heard in this conversation has been, a long time ago, the belief was build it in North Las Vegas, build it away from the strip, build it for the people who live and service Las Vegas, the people who work in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
This is not that. This is putting it right down where everything's going on. What about parking? What about, I mean, it's the ultimate entertainment center. When you talk about places like Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, who all built their arenas to try and build these entertainment centers, that's there.
Yeah.
And
this new arena going at the MGM Grand, maybe that's because they want a new venue for boxing or the UFC fighting.
That's going to be the
main thing they want it for.
For sure.
Yeah, you know, maybe we could throw an NHL team in there. You could make it like the Celine Dion shows 4 times a week. People will come down to see NHL hockey from other cities all over North America and Europe.
It would be
a great trip. But then here's the other thing. You're a Flames fan. The Flames play a game in Vegas. You and your buddies go down, see it the first year, see it the second year. Eventually, it's going to, okay, we've done it the last couple of years. We don't want to go see
yes,
a team. And then eventually, everyone else in the league.
I say this with tongue firmly planted in cheek. Yes, because people get tired of going to Vegas.
Well, not going to Vegas, but going just for the sole purpose of seeing your team play down there. Does it still have that same attractiveness?
I think it does.
You think it can survive?
I think it does, because one thing that Las Vegas does probably better than any other tourist destination is reinvent itself. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always reasons.
There's always reasons to go to Vegas. You're just competing against other things.
Yes.
There's just other things to do in Vegas where the hockey wouldn't be. If I was a guy and I went down with a group of friends to a Flames game 1, 2, 3 years in a row, the fourth year comes up, like, we did that in the last 3 years.
I would be concerned if I was counting on more than 3,000 or 4,000. And that number, you know, Rolly Sear from the Flames might be laughing when he hears me say this. Somebody who professionally sells tickets.
Yeah.
They might laugh at me when I say this. I would be worried if I was counting on more than 3,000 or 4,000 walk-up, right?
Yeah.
Do the season tickets get bought by casinos? Do hotels buy them? Hey, you know, our high rollers. Okay, so what's that crowd going to be?
Exactly.
You know, there was long held that belief. They called it the library here. You know, that it was corporate Calgary that supported it, and it was a quiet building. That was one complaint. They said that about Toronto, that, you know, nobody's out to watch the game until 4 or 5 minutes in because they're still coming out of the clubs and things like that in the building. I'm like you. I'm fascinated by Vegas. I don't want to get distracted because I think Vegas is kind of the... I think Vegas is an. I don't think Vegas is an expansion team. I think Vegas is a relocation. I really do.
But if it doesn't work in Arizona and Phoenix, you're not moving too far out of that area. If that's what you do.
I trust people who are down there that say it doesn't because they built it in the wrong place.
Yes.
Because anybody who's been down to Glendale knows that it's kind of a ways from everything.
Yes.
And my good friend Charlie Simmers, longtime voice of the Coyotes down there, lived down there. He's adamant that had it been built in Scottsdale, that thing could have worked.
Probably.
Right? And there's a lot of people who feel that way. And in this case, you know, here we are arguing about, you know, downtown. The same case could be made. If you build it in North Vegas with the expectation of attracting, you know, the people who work and live in Las Vegas, that might be the failure. Maybe you are better off to put it right down
right
in the grits and glitz. Yeah. But, again, I go back to something you said just a couple of minutes ago. If it's that great, how come... This race to get to Vegas is kind of like this race to get to Europe.
Yeah.
They said the same thing about the NBA, the NHL about 5 or 6 years ago. These leagues are racing. The NFL's racing to get to Europe. You got to be the first person there. I don't know. I think some of that's built up in some people's minds here.
Yeah, and I do. I mean, you mentioned they had the All-Star game for the NBA. They had it there. The NHL has its awards there. Way back in the day, Gretzky and the Kings played the Rangers outdoors there. They have all those events, and I think they work because they're just such short little things. People can come in for that one event and go. I don't think a long-term staying franchise. And sure, it works for minor league, but then you don't need as many fans for a minor league team. The Buffalo or the Las Vegas, the former Jays farmed Triple A.
Right.
They didn't need to have 20,000 or 18,000-19,000 people a game. They didn't need all the corporate sponsorship that you need. They had a parent club to look after them.
Yeah.
You don't have that if you're a pro team, and I think that's where it really gets into the can you really sustain long term stability. Short term, sure, it probably it'll work. It'll be a great thing, but long term, I just feel people kind of saying the novelty of going to Vegas, favorite game, has worn off a little bit because I'll go to Vegas and there's so much other things to do for tourists than just to watch a hockey game.
To me, the play here is Toronto and Quebec.
Yeah, absolutely.
To me, the play here is those will be the two expansion teams or should be the two expansion teams. Maybe Seattle. Maybe you can get, you know, Quebec, and I can't wait to ask Glenn Hodgson about this either, one of our guests coming up, the chief economist for the Conference Board of Canada. Toronto, you can see there's the wealth there to bid.
Mm-hmm.
Quebec, I don't know, is there a potential for a bidding war? Are there groups there? They've got the building coming. I know Quebec Corps was one group that was looked at. You know, maybe that's just the awarding of an expansion franchise, and maybe you have to set the price. I think those are the two teams. I think, you know, we have to kind of keep in the back of our mind that we're really only a decade or so away from a very weak Canadian dollar that put a lot of teams in peril in this country. And really, it was, you know, probably less to do with a new collective bargaining agreement and more to do with the fact that it was a very strong Canadian dollar for almost a 10-year ride there of close to par, it's sometimes over par. You know, what happens if, you know, the U.S. economy rebounds, you know, in the next decade? What happens if, you know, all of a sudden the Canadian dollar is hovering around 70 cents again? You know, then you've got some weaker markets. I mean, Calgary was in trouble the last go round. What would Edmonton be? What would Winnipeg be? What could a Quebec City be? What would Ottawa be?
Yeah.
And I don't want to be Donnie Downer here, because things are good and life is good. But you do have to kind of go in with your eyes open.
There's a lot of what ifs.
Right.
That you have to think of when you make one of these decisions, because you're bringing in a team there. You're planning for it to be there long term, but you don't know what things are going to be like in 5, 10, 15 years. We saw it with the Nordiques and the Jets. The dollar gets bad.
Yep.
These teams can't survive. They got to go. It almost happened to the Flames.
Sure.
The Flames were very, very close. The reality is of relocating. It happens to everybody. So you've got to think of all the what ifs and all the different options. Sure, it looks great right now, and the last decade has looked really good for the Flames. The fan support is
right
there. The dollar's strong. Everything looks good, but we don't know what happened. Like you mentioned, dollar could go down, the U.S. economy could bounce back in 10 years, something could happen, you know, the Flames aren't a very good team, they're out of the playoffs for another 8-9 years or something like that could happen. It happened before in the late
sure
90s, so,
yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's crazy to think it could happen, but it does, and
then where are you at? Exactly.
And you got to think of that, so, I mean, there's a lot of what ifs, but I think a team in Toronto, that area would be stable, because we haven't seen the Toronto Maple Leafs go through a time when they haven't been a stable franchise. As far as making the money, filling up the building, they're going to be okay. Quebec City, I think nowadays, probably be okay. I think a lot of it was not having an arena back then. Now you get that arena, you have a good team, you have probably a strong fan base. It's a different time, but Quebec is a what-if as well, because they did leave already once.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
When things weren't good. So there is some what-ifs to look at even that. But I think Toronto is probably your safest bet would be a Toronto area team.
So let's operate under the feeling that in the next decade we're going to see two expansion teams and maybe two relocations. But two expansion teams. Mm-hmm. The league goes from 30 to 32. Are there enough players? Well, one current player, captain of the Chicago Blackhawks, Jonathan Toews, feels there are.
I think there's so many good young players nowadays that it wouldn't the level of play wouldn't drop off very much. You know, I feel like even, especially in the Western Conference.
So that's, you know, that's his feeling, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that differ with that. I'm sure there's, you know, no doubt you've been watching the text line. I'm sure there's lots of people texting in today going, ooh, no, it's too, you know, it's already watered down. And look, adding two more teams is not going to stop it from being watered down. To what degree it waters it down, that would be the question. You know, I do believe it's inevitable. I think rarely now do we ever see teams talk or leagues talking about contraction. There was a brief conversation in hockey about contraction. Mm-hmm. Baseball talked about contraction, but it never ever really seems to come to fruition. If anything, we always see more added, and I just think it's an inevitability.
It will, yeah, and watered down. I mean, Jonathan Toews is a guy who probably knows a bit more about the talent in the NHL and what could be coming up in the systems and what it's like. Probably a little more connected to it than anybody, even any of our listeners who want to say it would be watered down. If Jonathan Toews is a guy who doesn't think it, there's a lot of guys in the NHL. You look at every team, I mean, there's some teams that have two or three, even four superstar players on their team. You take one of those guys away from that team to put them on a different franchise, it works. I mean, there's enough players
league. But you take away, but then you know, what we've seen with the expansion is it's come and gone. Every time you expand, it becomes more and more difficult to basically what you create is more and more parity. You don't have dynasties anymore.
Yeah.
Now, there are those who pine for dynasties. I'm sure in the middle of dynasties wanted to see more variation. You know, you always love what you don't have. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, you start taking an extra, I don't know, let's say a Marian Hossa off of Chicago, or you take a Richards off, Mike Richards off of the LA Kings, whatever the player is, there's going to be a significant player come off these better teams,
exactly.
Right?
But to me, it's like you look at, like you mentioned back in the 80s when they expanded to 21 teams, it was watered down.
Yeah.
Did you think of that in 1989? Was the league watered down? No. I mean, you keep going to 90, you know, when Anaheim and Florida came into the league.
Right.
Oh, you're watering down the league. A few years later, we didn't think the league was watered down when Nashville came in, but then Nashville comes in, watering it down.
Well, I think some did think it was watered down. I think there are those people.
But do you think it's watered down right now?
Do I think it's what?
The NHL?
Compared to what? Compared to the six-team NHL? Absolutely.
Sure, compared to a six-team NHL, absolutely. But you look at it, you wouldn't just go and say, oh, the talent level in the NHL's down.
There's not enough talented players. Here's what it all comes down to. Are you prepared to live with it? Mm-hmm. At what point do you, as a hockey fan, say enough is enough? It's too watered down. You've lost me. I'm now going to something else. You know, I said it to you about an hour ago. I kind of like thinking about the other way. What if you went back to a 16 league? What would hockey look like? You know, we're all consumers. We all have a chance to vote. We vote by either involving ourselves economically in the product or not. If, you know, I said this when the shootout came in. There's a lot of people who are anti-shootout. Good. If you know what? Vote. If you don't like it, and listen, I remember there's a couple of guys, one in particular that, you know, I said, oh, you know, you guys all talk a big game. You're never going to leave even if the shootout comes in. And he sent me an email. Look, I'm not watching the National Hockey League anymore. I've given up. No shootout for me. And that's what it's going to take. There will be bluster. There will be arguments. There will be a season ticket turned in or whatever. But if this league goes to 32, if this league goes to 34, if this league goes to 38, mm-hmm. it isn't going to dry up and blow away.
No, it's not because hockey is a popular sport, especially in Canada.
But it will be watered down.
It will be. But for how long? Because I don't consider the NHL watered down. I don't consider it that there's less talent because we have 30 teams now. I think eventually more and more talent become and more guys turn into superstars. I mean, I wasn't around when there was a six-team league, so I don't know what it was like. But I don't sit here and say, oh, a 30-team league is way better.
But doesn't by the true definition, and we're going a little long here, we ought to take a break in a second, but let's stay with this for you say you don't feel it's watered down, but by its true definition, it is, right?
If it's a 21, yes. Because you're looking at watered down, there's more players, certainly. But to me, I consider watered down maybe making it less able to watch, less talented guys. You know, more teams are bad for a long time. I don't think it's like that. I mean, I remember when it was in 2000 when Columbus and Minnesota came in. I don't look at the year 2000, the year now, and say, oh, NHL's way worse off now because those two teams
But they did have to go in and change the rules because a team like Minnesota came in to survive and started trapping, right?
Yeah.
They changed the game. And I think there's something to be said about if they do expand, they had better look at the rules right away.
Yeah.
But, no, I dismiss
there's
out
more
of...
more and more people coming, and, yeah, I mean...
Do I think there's better hockey players today than there was 50 years ago, more of them? Perhaps. But you cannot convince me that a six-team National Hockey League right now wouldn't be spectacular.
Yes, it would be.
It
would be great, but I'm just saying you had one or two teams right now. Sure, it's going to look watered down because it was watered down a little bit. When Columbus, they were bad. They were a bad team. Minnesota was struggled. They started trapping. They were able to get good coaching. It goes back to our argument.
Yep.
We're talking about getting coaches and GMs in there and managing it properly. Those guys come in there and turn those teams around. But Columbus had some struggles. They were not very good teams. Not a lot. Like, you look at that 2000 Columbus roster.
Yeah.
Not a lot of guys are still on that team. Yeah, sure, it's 15 years. None of them. It's 15 years. But not a lot of guys had long NHL careers because they weren't NHL players. But I think eventually as time goes on, it balances itself out more and more. And I think two teams wouldn't be a huge detriment. Eventually, it might take 3 or 4 years, but it would balance itself out.
I'll go this way with you. We'll accept it. It will be watered down. It just will be.
Yeah.
It just will be. And to what degree would it be as big a drop as when the league went from 16?
But do you think it would balance it out? It would balance itself out after a couple of years? Like, it's your watered down at first and it seems like it's so bad?
Well, the word is balanced out, or is it acceptance?
It would be. I think it still would be accepted.
This league has never had 30 teams firing on all cylinders. It just hasn't. This team never had six teams firing on all cylinders.
But the competition, I think, is closer now than it's ever been.
You're talking about parity.
Yeah, parity, I think, right now is. And like, 30 teams aren't going to be President's Trophy teams or contending for the President's Trophy. But
34 won't be.
34 won't be. But it's a lot closer now than it was. I mean, when teams like Ottawa and stuff came in, they only winning 8 games, in their expansion.
Yeah,
I don't think we're at that point.
Yeah.
I think teams could still manage to win 25 some odd games.
But I'll tell you,
still good competition.
Was that Buffalo team last year an NHL team?
Absolutely not, but that was done maybe on their own. they kind of decided
they didn't need expansion to be bad. You're right.
They decided they wanted to sell off their players and go that route, which I think we'll still see.
Have at her.
I just honestly don't feel it would be so bad to have two more. It would be not bad. It wouldn't be watered down as much. I mean, it goes even.
I think what
population can just.
I don't want
population was so much bigger now than it was when there were six teams. So there's so many more hockey players to pick from. And I think as time goes farther and farther, we're going to have.
I don't think that relationship isn't. I think you're right. I think, you know, ideally, and I, you know, maybe we should really ask this question tomorrow, because it'd be a great one on the text line.
Yeah.
You know, what is optimum? What is optimum? And I'm here to tell you, I think with the quality of player we have now today, I think a 21 or 22 team league would be perfect.
It'd be fantastic.
I think six would be like the Olympics. Like that'd be playing to the point where we shouldn't have that because we don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Because it'd be so fantastic that nothing would ever get done because that's all we would do is watch those games and talk about them. That's it. It'd be that good.
But then you're losing, but like we said before, you have 16, you have 18. You're losing interest in a lot of areas.
I think there's a difference. I think there's a difference between parity and acceptance. And I think, parity, would there be parity? Yes, because you'd be forcing more teams down. You know, would it be watered down? It would absolutely be watered down. But it comes back to acceptance. Yeah. Would people really care that much? Would you really notice that much? Because it's all done over time, right? Mm. You didn't go from six teams to 30 teams.
Yeah, you didn't have that.
You've always done it incrementally, right? And that very fascinating conversation. I appreciate you bringing it up, and I hope we can pick this up tomorrow because I'd like to go down that path with you. We will be talking a little bit more about this a little later on with Glenn Hodgson, the chief economist from the Conference Board of Canada. Lance Bowman to join us, Brad Treliving as well. This has been the big story of the day, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Proud to broadcast from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We do the research, filter out the crap, add some opinion, and fire it up for you on the drive home. Headlines start now, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We will get to headlines in a second. Do want to remind you that we are Mugshots Sports Bar and Grill, 2808 Ogden Road Southeast, just right kitty corner from the Kingsland Farmers Market, right?
Yeah, okay. Farmers Market, yeah.
And just the Blackfoot Trails right here. The home of Calgary's best chicken wing, bar none, end of story, period. Dot it, notarize it. That's it. You don't need to argue with anybody. It's a done deal. John Gilchrist has named him that. Twice our listeners have done that. Twice Avenue Magazine has named them the best chicken wing in Calgary, as has Breakfast Television. So if that's not a crew of authorities for you, if that's not enough, I don't know how else we can express it to you other than come down and check it out for yourself. Over 50 varieties of chicken wings, including Josh's favorite, the red velvet, cream cheese and chocolate.
Last time I ever listened to you about anything food.
You've had a bad run with me this summer, haven't you?
I've had a bad run with you eating, making me eat things.
Eating bugs and eating really, really hot wings.
These weren't bad, though.
No, they were good. Yeah.
But they definitely are very good.
Very good taste to them. Let's get to some headlines. It's over. It is over. The long-anticipated wait to get Lance Boma's name on a contract for the Calgary Flames. It is done. He signed a one-year, one-way deal with Calgary today. Brad Treliving was on with us earlier, and he talks about getting the deal done.
I've been asked a lot here over the course of the last few weeks of, you know, what the holdup is. And it really wasn't, I mean, as you guys know, there's different timelines for these contracts, and there was other things going on. And, you know, ultimately there was a couple of different scenarios we looked at in terms of, you know, more than 1 year, looking at 1 year. Ultimately, you know, from my end, I felt real comfortable with the 1 year, with me coming in here, getting to know Lance a little bit more. Now I know him as a player from the outside, going back even to his junior days, mm-hmm. and have always appreciated him as a player. I think he embodies a lot about what we want to be about here. And but this, to me, the contract I think is going to work for both the player and the team. It gives Lance a chance to come in here. Us to see more of him to establish himself even further as an NHL player, and we get back to, we would look at doing something at the end of the year and moving forward.
One of the questions I had for Brad, and the interview is up, you can check it out at our website, was Is it more is it different? Not more difficult, but different. Negotiating a contract with a player like Lance Boehm as opposed to a goal scorer, as opposed to a goaltender, and I think he appreciated the question, and I think he you know was readily to admit, yeah, I mean, here you're talking about a guy that, you know, when we talk about the word intangibles, that's what Lance Boehm brings: leadership, blocking shots, led the team in hits, you know, he's gritty, he's a character, a penalty killer, those types of things. And all due respect to my good friends in the analytics community, and they'll say you can, you know, prove those or show those statistically. I think it's when it's the accepted NHL-provided statistics right now, you're a little bit limited. But, you know, that's what it is. This is a guy that you just can't look at the goals and assists when it comes to Lance Boehm.
No, you can't. And second in the league in block shots, you mentioned leading the team in hits and things like that. Those things, those little things that he does during the game, or you just watch Lance Boehm when he's not with the puck. What's he doing without the puck? You sit there and you watch him, what he's doing, who he's covering. He's covering some of the big names on other teams. He's playing right with those guys. He's a gritty player. He's, you know, a physical guy, the kind of sandpaper that you need on your team to have. I always, you know, kind of compared him a little bit to Brandon Press, but I think, you know, he's not quite that level of the physicality,
right,
or, you know, the fighting kind of style, but yep, he's got those traits that, you know, Brandon Press. Block, like the blocking shots thing is huge. The leadership off the ice. We talked about that yesterday too. The leadership in the dressing room, trying to change the culture here at this organization, buying into the coach's system. That's another thing that's huge in Calgary with Bob Hartley. You have to buy in to what Bob Hartley wants you to buy into, and you know, to go and stay with this team.
We asked Brad Treliving about PTOs, and it was not a long, it just, I kind of brought it up, you know, you've done your work, or are you looking at adding, you know, bringing anybody in on a PTO, a professional tryout opportunity? He said he was open to it, they were thinking about it, but nothing, you know, on the front burner. One guy that they won't be bringing to camp is Scott Gomez. Why? Because the New Jersey Devils are bringing back Scott Gomez, but on a PTO. Low risk? Any risk?
No risk. I mean, there's no risk at all. It's a PTO. Bring him in for training camp. If he works out, he works out.
Didn't end well, though, the first go-round.
It did. No, it did not end well, but, again, different culture. That was a long time ago. But,
right.
Yeah, I think a PTO is probably the lowest risk you can have. You talk about a low risk giving a guy a one-year deal under $1 million, like Devin Setoguchi. But I think a low risk, I mean, the ultimate low risk is a PTO.
Yeah.
Bring him in there. Play the preseason. Play camp. If we think you're going to be okay on this team, we'll give you a contract. We'll offer you a deal. If you're not going to be, if you don't think you're, you know, have the ability to play in the NHL anymore, no harm, no foul. You're on your way.
Well, you know, Simone Gagné's been invited to Boston camp. Last year, Mason Raymond went to Toronto and earned a contract. I'm very curious to see if Ryan Malone, who has all kinds of legal troubles in Tampa, if he's a guy that somebody invites to camp. Does Dustin Penner, know, I'm a little surprised Penner doesn't have a contract. I got to be honest with you. And I know everybody's, you know, wondering if he's going to get a PTO. I still think there's a possibility that Dustin Penner gets a contract. I'm not talking about the Flames. I'm just talking about an NHL contract.
Yeah.
But if not, I mean, he's another guy that I'm sure a lot of teams would bring in on a PTO.
I mean, we went through it yesterday with our RFAs. There's still plenty, a handful of UFAs that are still out there, like
sure,
you mentioned. And maybe that's, once some of these RFAs get closer and closer to it, maybe we start seeing more guys get either done to contracts or signed to PTOs because of, you know, teams aren't sure where their status is with some of their other players. If there is holdouts, which you would expect there to be, but, you know, perhaps that is something that to look at because it could very well happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at some names out there, and I, you know, Jamie McBain. Now, some of these guys might have already signed over in Europe or something like that. I don't know. Does Todd Bertuzzi at 39, does he go on somewhere on a PTO? You know, what about a guy like a Joe Corvo or somebody like that, a Radek Dvorak, who I thought was done but came back last year, a Henrik Tillander. You know, Kevin Westgarth, who's only 30 years old, played in Calgary last year. Is he a guy? I'm sure he is a guy. Ryan Jones, who's in Edmonton. Those are a couple of guys that would not surprise me. I'm hoping a guy like Bracken Kearns, you know, former University of Calgary Dinos, had some time with San Jose. I'm hoping he gets. You know, there's a handful of guys out there that, you know, and I want to be careful because, you know, might have already signed in Europe, you know, something like that. But just looking at the UFAs that are left out there, there's certainly got to be some names that are interesting in NHL teams.
Yeah, and you would think, usually you don't hear about the PTOs until, what, about a week or so before camp.
Yep.
I mean, Brad Winchester came
yep.
to the locker. It wasn't until just a few short days
yep.
before that you start hearing these
sure.
guys get those invites then. So, I would expect there would be a handful and a lot of them that do get PTOs or get contracts at the very last second, but I wouldn't expect we hear about a lot of those until perhaps, we get within a day or two, 48 hours of camp.
All right, we're up against it, but before we go, a couple of CFL notes.
Yeah, a couple of CFL notes. Weston Dressler obviously has returned now. Looks like he's going to be for sure heading to the CFL. A couple of offers. These are only reports that Ottawa has given an offer and so have the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. The Riders' offer appears to be worth $200,000. According to reports, the Red Blacks have come in at $250,000 to Weston Dressler right now. Also in the CFL, Zach Collaros is going to be off the six-game injured list from the Hamilton Ticats. So hopefully for them, they get a boost. They're hurting at the quarterback's position. And for the NFL and the people doing their fantasy drafts up very soon, don't take Josh Gordon from the Cleveland Browns this year. His suspended has been upheld by the NFL for the entire season for marijuana use. He did appeal it, hoping to get it down to four games, but it has been upheld. He will miss the entire 2014 season, Josh Gordon of the Cleveland Browns.
And I take absolutely no pleasure in this, but yesterday we brought it up, so I feel like I should put some closure on it. There was a story over the weekend that a young DB with USC, Josh Shaw, jumped from the second story to the deck of a pool to save his drowning 7-year-old nephew. He suffered high ankle sprains and was gone for the year, and everybody was praising him as a hero, and then something went south yesterday. This has just been released from USC Trojans Athletics. Josh Shaw admitted to USC officials the story about saving his nephew from drowning is a complete fabrication. I don't know what to say other than I feel bad all the way around, and I hope whatever needs to happen here, they can get this sorted out. But we did talk about it yesterday, and I did feel like we needed to put a little closure on that. We will take a break when we come back. More on the possibility of expansion. It's being treated like a breaking story today. I don't necessarily think it is, but I'm very excited to hear from the chief economist from the Conference Board of Canada. Glenn Hodgson is going to join us next. We'll talk about the possibility of Quebec City and Toronto. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to preface this right now. Glenn, a big fan of Quebec City. We'll talk about that next. We are live this afternoon at Mugshot Sports Bar and Grill, 2808 Ogden Road Southeast, the home of Calgary's best chicken wing. You don't believe me? You come in here and you try it, and you will find out. I am not making that story up. Later on, Lance Boma, Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Calgary Flames. It's Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
If it's on the ice, it's on the air, and online right here. Calgary's home for the NHL. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Talking hockey in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Live on location this afternoon at Mugshot Sports Bar and Grill, Calgary's best chicken wing, 2808 Ogden Road Southeast. Just talked to some folks who were listening all afternoon, and they came in and they said, you're not lying. They are that good. The big story today is the talk of expansion or perhaps relocation of the National Hockey League. I know that the sexy name has been Las Vegas, perhaps, and maybe to a lesser extent Seattle. But I want to give credit where credit is due. For a long time now, the Conference Board of Canada has been releasing studies and papers on the health, the ability, the expansion possibilities, just the overall opportunities that present themselves, not only in professional hockey, but even in pro sports in Canada. Most recently, our next guest was on this very station last week talking about the building of facilities, and we're very glad that he has some time for us today because it's been a busy day for Glenn Hodgson, the chief economist for the Conference Board of Canada. Glenn, thank you for doing this, and I just want you to touch on that. It has been a busy day today for you because all of a sudden, whether or not this is an actual story, I think it's inevitable. But whether or not, it's got everybody talking, doesn't it?
Sure, it has everybody talking. By the way, that was the best intro ever. If I could bottle that and take it around with me, I would.
I'd be happy to do it for you, sir.
Well, there you are. It's been a big day because people are so interested in hockey across this country, and the idea of actually adding another team or two in the NHL turns people on. It's a combination of business and growth and more teams to cheer for. So, yeah, it's been a big day.
And just for the sake of background, can you explain a little bit about the Conference Board of Canada's interest in this? Because I mentioned before, and I have the reports at one point, I believe you went through a study that said that the country could support as many as nine or more teams. I know that you had a webinar this past June talking about professional sports. What is the relationship between the Conference Board of Canada and professional sports?
Well, first of all, I'm the chief economist of the Conference Board, which is probably the biggest think tank in the country. We really address how to make Canada more competitive, which covers the entire economy. The sports series came out of almost a whim that a colleague of mine and I had about, gee, ha, 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 wouldn't it be fun to write about sports and economics? And we did. We sat down on Sunday afternoons, it was a rainy, snowy Sunday afternoons, and started writing. And 2 years later, we had a book. And it really, it shows that you can apply what we do for a living, which is economics, to almost anything. And I'm a sports fan, so why not apply it to the sporting field as well?
Let's talk about the two cities that have come up again, Toronto and, more importantly, Quebec City, because I know this is the one, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, Glenn, but Quebec City is the interesting one, and it's one that you seem to enjoy the idea of. Can you talk a little bit about the possibility of the NHL going to Quebec City?
Well, I'm quite happy if you put words in my mouth about Quebec. I actually just tweeted about that going on your show. It has all the ingredients to be a successful team once again. Arguably, Quebec got shafted when the exchange rate fell, when the dollar fell to 63 cents against the U.S. dollar, and they had to pay 50% more for a player payroll than a comparable American team. That's really what happened in Quebec. It's not a big market, but the same size as Winnipeg, so approaching 800,000 people, doesn't have a huge number of head offices. What it has, though, is passion for hockey. And they supported a team, WHA, through the NHL almost 25 years in. But what really stuck it to both Winnipeg and Quebec City, and by the way, the Montreal Expos, too, was the exchange rate, where they were just paying a lot more than everybody else for players. So, of course, the franchise leaves. Well, what's happening right now in Quebec is that Mary Labome got elected on a platform 4 years ago of building an NHL-ready arena with public money. So they're doing it right now. There's no debate like there was in Edmonton about who should pay for this. The taxpayers paying for it. That's how badly they want hockey back. And the dollar's kind of trading at around 91 cents today, so Canadian teams, including the Flames, will have to pay a little bit more this year, like 10% more on player salaries in Canadian dollar terms than the American teams. But that's still within the margin of what's doable in Canada. I see the burning passion. My co-author, Mary Lefebvre, who's now living back in Montreal, shares this. There's a burning passion in Quebec for a second NHL team in that province.
What's the long-term, future? What's the outlook for the Canadian dollar? Because that is the catalyst here, right? I mean, you said it's down maybe 10%. Do we concern ourselves of sometime in the future seeing it back in that 72 to 68 cent range?
Well, now you're asking about my day job, so I can talk. I can put my economist hat on here. We're probably through what's called the super cycle on commodity prices. That's what drove the dollar up to par. When China entered the world economy really fully about 10 years ago, it drove up everything. Oil prices, of course, Albertans are still benefiting from that. Copper prices, metal prices, wood prices. We're seeing some of those prices coming off right now, but energy in particular is still very strong. I mean, oil is still trading around $100 a barrel in North America. That's why Alberta gets Americans to pay your taxes, because you earn a lot of revenue from the royalties on oil exports. Mm-hmm. And we don't see that ending anytime soon. China is now rapidly growing to the point where it's going to be as big as the U.S. economy in the next decade or so. So that ongoing pressure on commodity prices, on resource exports, is going to stay there. So maybe the dollar would come off a little bit over the next little while, but we don't see it going back to 63 cents, arguably within my lifetime. I think it's probably going to stay in the kind of 85 cent plus range. Even during the financial crisis 4 or 5 years ago, the dollar only fell to 85 cents. They got back to 90 quickly. So I think we should kind of assume that the dollar's value is kind of where it is right now, which is good for us when we go on vacation in Phoenix. And it's not quite as good for the Flames and other NHL teams, because they got to pay a little bit more in Canadian dollars for their players, but they can still compete at that point.
Glenn Hutchins, the chief economist for the Conference Board of Canada. He is our guest on the Subway Restaurant Fresh Take Hotline. If you don't mind, a little bit more about Quebec. Two things. One, how would you describe the economy in Quebec? You mentioned not a lot of Big businesses headquartered out of Quebec City, but are things going well enough that they will be able to attract Quebec-based advertising?
Short answer, yes, but longer answer to your question, the Quebec economy is not in fabulous shape. It's only growing about 1 to 1.5% annually. They have a serious fiscal problem in Quebec. They're trying to balance the budget, you know, and everybody across the country understands that story. But I think that the real kicker is Quebecers probably care more about hockey than anybody else in the country. People in Calgary can contest that. I've been there on Flames games nights when everybody's wearing their red jerseys, so I know what the passion is like in Calgary. But we're pretty confident that if Quebec got a team back, you would find a way for a lot of Quebec-based and national businesses that want to operate in Quebec to find a way to buy the corporate boxes, provide sponsorship. Hopefully there'd be a media outlet as well that'd be able to carry a lot of the Quebec team's games, the way you're seeing carriage across the country.
The other question I have, and this one's maybe a little trickier because it's far more political, but what about addressing the tax situation? I mean, you talk about the passion of people for hockey in Quebec. The Canadians, I'm sure their players would love to see some sort of amnesty. Is there any opportunity or potential there that some sort of tax break for players or tax break for the team?
I love the idea of PK getting tax amnesty right now, having signed the massive contract he just signed, $63 million contract getting amnesty. Quebec right now is doing a really detailed examination of their tax system, but frankly is to get rid of exemptions because they need the money. So I think the odds of a player getting a break in Quebec are probably pretty slim right now.
Okay, fair enough. Your thoughts on a second team in Toronto? It's always seemed rather a no-brainer to me.
Well, just by virtue of the size of the market, it should be a no-brainer. I mean, right now in the greater Toronto area, in the greater, what they call the greater Golden Horseshoe, which goes from kind of, Ajax all the way to Niagara Falls, there's about 10 million people. That is more than enough to support two NHL teams right now. The trouble is, you've got the Leafs there with their property rights firmly entrenched. I mean, they've had a monopoly in that market forever. You saw teams try and situate themselves in Hamilton, which is at the western end of the city, and not succeed. But the market size, the sheer market size is enough to carry two teams right now. But then you need a building, and of course you need an ownership that can find a way to work with the existing owners. And of course, Bell and Rogers are involved there, and Maple Leaf Sports Enterprises. So the population base is there. It'll be a matter of finding ways to address all the other challenges, like building a building, who's going to own the team, what sort of territorial rights might you have to pay the Leafs or even the Sabres to operate in that space. The flip side is, what an incredible rivalry that would be to have two Toronto-based teams playing each other three or four times a year.
Maybe an unfair question, Glenn. Let me ask it anyway. The thought is that the National Hockey League, if they ever went there, would maybe put the franchise up in sort of a bid. Maybe look at an auction. The economy being the way it is, the game the way it is, we just saw the LA Clippers being sold for $2 billion. Care to opine on how much an open bid for a second team in Toronto might go for?
Well, it's a really interesting idea. Remember a guy named Jim Balsillie, who then had a lot of money, tried to bring a franchise to Hamilton? I mean, you could well have an auction where, and there are some billionaires in Canada. The team in Winnipeg, for example, benefits from having a very rich man along with a local owner backstopping the team. So that's a really intriguing idea. And the Clippers' money was really astounding, but it's actually consistent with the LA market because Magic Johnson put together a consortium and they bought the Dodgers about a year and a half ago for pretty much the same amount. I mean, they were paying billions for it. So maybe that would be a way of identifying who really has the passion and the very deep pockets to support a team in the Toronto area.
Two quick ones for you, Glenn. So just to surmise, just because we are going to obviously discuss this for weeks to come, I'm sure, I'm not talking out of school when I say that it's economically feasible for Canada to support two more teams in Quebec City and Toronto. We're not concerned about the feasibility of it.
No. We've done our homework. I mean, we wrote a book on this. We've had commentaries in the past looking at the combination of market size, purchasing power, things like head offices, which are so important for buying boxes and advertising. And where the dollar is, that really is a killer variable for Quebec City. We think it's quite possible for Canada to have two or even three more teams over the next, say, 20 years. I mean, Hamilton should not be forgotten either. They still have a building that seats about 17,000 people. It would need a refit. But if you look at the greater Golden Horseshoe area, we think by, say, 2035, there could be 15 million people living there. That's as many as live in the Netherlands. So that's basically a pretty good-sized country. They could carry three NHL teams with a passion for hockey in that market.
Wow. And the last one's a personal question. You tickled my fancy a little earlier on when you mentioned my former favorite team in Major League Baseball. Is the economy strong enough in Quebec to have Quebec get an NHL team and the Expos come back to Montreal?
Well, the real challenge for Quebec and for the Expos going back, first of all, the Montreal market's big enough. They're pushing towards 3.5 million people in the Montreal area. But, you know, the Big O is a terrible place to play baseball. So first issue is you got to pay for a stadium downtown. Montreal Baseball actually had a site sort of on the south end of the downtown in Montreal all set out, but then they couldn't get the team together. And, of course, an owner. Fundamentally, though, baseball has challenges in that there's no salary cap. And this year's an exceptional year where a team like Kansas City, for example, is very competitive, where they haven't been for 20 years. But Montrealers don't want to get suckered. They don't want to support a team that has no chance of ever winning the World Series or even their division. So you'd probably have to see some rebalancing of revenues, more control of player salaries in baseball before Quebecers were really convinced that the return of the Expos was real.
An honor, my friend. This was fantastic. I hope that we can keep the phone number and keep you in the loop as this story plays itself out. Glenn, thanks for spending some time with us today.
Yeah, it was a great pleasure. Whenever you call, I'd be quite happy to talk.
Thanks, Glenn.
Take care.
Glenn Hodgson, chief economist from the Conference Board of Canada. There you go, folks. If you don't believe me, you got to believe a chief economist. He is the chief, and he says, absolutely. Toronto, absolutely. In Quebec, and if you want, throw a team in Hamilton there too because they can support it. We'll take a quick break because when we come back, Lance Bowman was back with the Calgary Flames. I'm not sure it was ever in doubt. A little late, but it's done. A one-year deal to stay with Calgary. We'll talk to Bowman next on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960. Talking sports all the time. No radio? No problem. Download the Rogers Radio app and never be without Sportsnet 960 again. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.